Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and other stuff.
I can't believe you got that right.
Yeah, I've been on it today. Live streaming, green screen shizzle. I've been taking the corporate coin today, which does sound like an innuendo, but it's not.
I should explain to people that they may have noticed, probably don't know or care, but we always open this podcast with me first, and I say my name, you say your name, and then I do the little blah, 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 blah about we're two friends who talk about cars.
You do.
And part of the reason for that is because I do the editing, and
I'm not trusted with anything.
Well, it's not that. It's just you're not trusted with doing that opening because there's a very specific gap before the music gets a little bit louder and then starts to fade out. And whenever you do it, you always do it too long and it crashes into the bit where the music gets louder. And I said that this week you should do it, assuming you would still crash into the music and we just make a feature of it. And look at you, you actually didn't. So
well, do you want me to if you want me to, it's because I am
I am bring the music,
I'm the script writer's antichrist, because I just can't stick to a script. I'm terrible at it. I have to always add in extra words, descriptives, dilly dally. I'm Johnny Smith. Welcome to Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two people talk about vehicles and then we just go off. We talk about vehicle-related issues, guilty pleasures, bad music, awful European hair, hotel rooms, gout. We talk about...
This is what it's normally like.
Tyre shakes, scuttle wobble.
Stop. You're just all over... Oh, the music's faded out again.
Emergency diets. Specialist fuels.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I know what I was going to... bring up this week.
What were you going to bring
up? It occurred to me the other day. Yeah. You know that game that people play?
Frogger.
Frogger.
I just thought game.
There's that. It's sort of a drinking game. I don't think it's a drinking game. It's a party game called I Have Never.
Oh, yeah. I used to play a lot out drinking.
Yeah. So the rules are you sort of somebody, whoever's. Turn is to play, they say I have never, and it'll be like, you know, I have never accidentally drunk shampoo, and everybody who could not say that, i.e. they have accidentally drunk shampoo, has to stand up or drink or whatever it is.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm using that as an example because I have accidentally
drunk. Is that the early days of the Body Shop when everything smelt so nice that you just had to give it a quick taste? It is, isn't it?
When I lived in a shared house and there was a kind of girls' bathroom, because basically the women in the house went, look, we don't want you coming and doing your disgusting boy shits in our bathroom.
Men and dogs.
So we sort of agreed there was a girls' bathroom and a boys' bathroom.
Boy shits?
Well, you know what I mean.
Really successful Euro... they were a really successful... What's the name of the... Oh, sorry. Euro... What's that awful contest?
Eurovision Song Contest.
Eurovision. As I kept wanting to say European. Eurovision. Yeah, they were massive.
The boy shits.
Boy shits. They were German. No, they're Austrian.
Shits with a Z.
Yeah, okay.
Boy shits. super sexy Liebe ist heißer.
Ich liebe dich. Maybe you do, pal, but don't come near me. All right, with your foreign muck.
Anyway, I used to sneak into the girls' bathroom sometimes. Usually I got in drunk to have a wee because it was nearer when you got in the front door.
Sit down where you...
And there was a little shelf by the loo that had smellies on it. And there was this sort of vanilla... It wasn't shampoo, actually. I think it was bath foam. Vanilla bath foam, and every time I stood there having a wee, I would take the vanilla bath foam and just have a little sniff of it, because it smelled amazing. It smelled like the best custard you'd ever ever smelt. Amazing vanilla smell. And then one day I think I was so drunk that I thought, well, if it smells this good, it must taste this good. So I tasted it and it didn't. It tasted of soap. Funny that.
You're like my brother when we were kids. I remember him sneaking into the understairs cupboard, which was mum's kind of pantry, I suppose. And he found the bag or box or tub of cocoa powder. And he thought, well, I've seen mum making some amazing chocolate cakes with that, so it must be really chocolatey. But my brother went in with a tablespoon, and he put a whole tablespoon in his mouth of cocoa. His face was a picture. Honestly, it just puckered right up, and it was instantly very dry. Never did it again. Never did it again. Surprisingly. Yeah.
You sort of, when you do that, because I have done that, I've done it with hot chocolate powder more than once, actually, because I quite like it. Not recently, not certainly in the last month. But if you do get it wrong and you inhale a little bit as you put it in your mouth, you do get that faint moment where you think, oh my God, I'm asphyxiating. I can't.
Oh, and then do you puff out a bit of soot?
Yes.
It's a bit like starting up a very old car next to a white-walled garage. And you get a big plume, don't you, that just smacks onto the wall.
Which is, you can always tell people who back their cars into up against the wall.
You get a smutsy
wall after a while.
And probably because there's close proximity to the wall to exhaust ratio, you get a bit of a sound of like a trombone-y sound when you first start it up the next day.
unless it's a Morris Minor, in which case it just makes a trombone-y sound all the time.
I couldn't own a Morris Minor on the basis the exhaust is just such an awful sound.
Do you not like the sound of a Morris Minor hurrumph
No, I don't like it. I really don't like it. Irritates me. It's like a stupid Jim Henson puppet making a stupid sound.
You like Beatles, where it constantly sounds like someone's following you around with a tambourine. I mean,
I love the Beatles sound. It's friendly. It does. It sounds like that little man from the Monkees. What was his name?
Davy Jones.
It's like having Davy Jones just perched on the back bumper, being really smiley and successful, a British person in America in the 60s.
Failing to pipe enough heat into the cabin.
Yes, fundamentally,
as
exactly.
Davy Jones would probably.
Davy Jones could never pipe the heat, unfortunately. Yeah, it's a real shame.
Anyway, I have never game.
Oh, yeah.
I suddenly thought of it the other day because I thought you could play it with cars and you could just play it with makes of car, because I have never owned any kind of BMW. And I sort of thought, for someone who's into cars, it feels like an oversight. Like, I had to really think
hard. You should have?
Yeah, because they make a lot of really nice
great cars
that are very nice to drive over the years. They've turned out, but there's not even like a ratty 318i in my back catalogue. I've never had an M car, and I've never had any kind of like a 7 Series or something as a cheapo barge.
I just haven't.
I've never owned a BMW. Have you not either?
I've owned one BMW, and I owned it for less than 48 hours. Not because I didn't like it, because I bought it to just make a quick buck on. And it was a 318 E30 Estate, so Tourer.
Mm. Oh, okay.
In red. And red's not a great BMW colour, I'm afraid. It just isn't.
No.
So, but that is, honestly, that's the only BMW. There's a couple of BMWs I do really like, and I feel like maybe one day, Richard, when we're wildly successful with this podcast and, the money is just cascading in like a water feature in a chintzy hotel, I think I might dive deep on a E46 M3, if you want to go full jingle, or on a lesser jingle scale. Very much like the idea of is it the 2002 Touring?
Yeah,
which was the much less popular one.
Was it less
the
popular?
Sort of hatchback?
I suppose so. Yeah. You don't really see them around, do you? And it's funny because 2002s have their own sort of following. That's the closest. Mm. I think that's the closest I've come to buying an old BMW. I think I mentioned this before. I can never remember things I've mentioned on the podcast versus things told you in real life. But
well, we've done a lot of videos together. We've done like 110 videos together, talking utter horseshit most of the time.
Anyway, I'll recap this quickly, but I almost bought a 2002. I mean, as in, I was looking around. It was when I was working... where was I working? It doesn't really matter, except that I was working briefly with Quentin. It wasn't Top Gear. I was doing something else with Quentin. And I remember mentioning it to him just casually, going, I was sort of thinking of getting an old BMW 2002. And he went, oh, sweet, sweet car, Richard. You won't lose on it. They're going up. And he was right. They were. So I should have bought one. But the weird thing was, this is almost like a message from the gods. I was seriously looking around, trying to find, you know, more information about them, do my homework, and then go and buy one. And one day I was on the M1 going home back to London, and it was a pissing wet evening, and on the hard shoulder with its hazards weakly flashing was a 2002. And I suddenly thought, and I was in my modern reliable waterproof car, and I suddenly thought, shit, no, because I was doing quite a lot of miles at that point. And I thought, oh dear, yeah, don't.
Would you have daily driven it?
Yeah, couldn't really afford to justify two cars, so I was going to sell my modern car to buy the usable everyday classic. But there never are they? There's always something wrong. So, yeah,
some are. So it depends what you regard as a classic. I mean, I'd love to. What if you had a BMW two car garage? What would you do? Two BMWs. Ooh. Maybe you could go for an older one and maybe a slightly newer one, or you could just go too old, or you could go too new. The world is your oyster, Richard.
Oh, man. That's hard then, isn't it? Because you're
right. The world is your propeller-shaped logo.
I would have to give serious thought to an E46 M3 as well. In a nice spec that's not been abused, which I grant you, you know, might as well go to the hen dentist and ask if they've pulled any teeth recently. But, you know, they might be out there. I'm sure they're out there somewhere.
They are. And I wouldn't want a CSL because the gearbox is horrible.
Is it? Oh.
It's awful.
I've never driven one.
Ah, it's awful.
Didn't know that.
It ages it terribly. Same as the M5, the V10 M5.
Oh, yeah, they're cack, aren't they? The gearboxes on those. Yeah.
Yeah, but I have driven a manual M5, the American spec one.
Have you?
Yeah, and it was stunning.
How'd you do that?
They had one in Norway at a show called Gatbil. And they used it as their track taxi at one of these big events they do. Mm. And it was like a drift taxi. And we were filming for Fifth Gear, and they gave it to me pretty much for the whole day with unlimited tyres. And I entered a drift contest with it, and I don't think I came last. But I did all right. So I've got some seat time, as they say, with a V10 manual M5. And it was really good. In fact, if I owned one, I would convert it to manual instantly.
Yeah. Do people do that?
I think some people do, but I think there's bigger issues with the V10 M5. Like, forget the gearbox, mate. Look at the rest of the car.
Yeah, they don't have a great rep, do they? I realised when you said you're in Norway that track taxi could have been the car they used to get around the track, but track taxi also sounds like a bloke who lent you the car in the first place. Hello, I am track taxi.
Oh yes, is it? It's got a little accent above the A, so yeah. Track taxi.
Track taxi.
Something. It's not a great accent. It's late in the day for me. I have, but I would very much like a very nearly bought before a BMW iSetta bubble car, the car that saved BMW's arse, which people do forget about, and because I think they're just charming, and I would very much like an E34 540i.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a dirty engine in a tasteful double tailgate car. Mm. I think it's my favourite looking five.
I think I like those five series, but
yeah,
it's a BMW. I think I'd just have to stick with a straight six, though.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They make a lovely noise of that era, don't they? That's sort of metallic. Bassy noise, it's good.
It is a really metallic noise, you're right.
Try this on for size. I think I've got my E46M3 in my double BMW garage.
Jingle, yeah.
You know what's next to it? A Z1.
Oh, you filth master. Really?
I've never driven one.
No, actually, I've never driven one.
I've always liked them. There was one up for sale not that long ago that was the former car of Bernard Sumner, lead singer of New Order. And
he had an M1?
He had a Z1 for years. I used to see him around in it occasionally because he lived in the town where I grew up for a bit, or still does, I can't remember. And or nearby. He had a green one, and it was up for sale. And, you know, it was all legit, and it had his name on the V5 and all sorts. And I was like, oh.
No.
But as a New Order fan and a BMW Z1 fan, that seems like there's a little sliver of the middle of a Venn diagram there. people who like New Order, people who like BMW Z1s, and in the middle is Bernard Sumner's fucking BMW Z1. I mean, that's a one of one. And I couldn't justify buying
it. One day it might end up. It might end up swinging into your hands. You just don't know. You just don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I care about the Z1, I'm afraid.
But, really?
I just find it too awkward to look at. It's very fast.
It's fugly, isn't it? And I know they're not meant to be that fast, although people do sort of do. You could get ones with them. You could have a Hartger-tuned one, couldn't you?
Yes,
Hartger. Hello, I am Hartger-tuned. She's my friend, Trek Taxi.
They're a lovely couple, you know?
Yeah.
Really lovely couple.
Good guys.
Sweet, sweet guys.
Sweet, sweet guys.
Sweet guys.
I feel like I'm missing something else. But this thing, there's loads of nice BMWs.
There's loads of like, there's no rhyme or reason why. I've just owned a lot more Mercedes than BMWs. And I know it always feels a bit like Crips and Bloods when you talk about Mercs and BMs, or historically you do. And it's not like that at all, you know? Is it?
You can have both if you want. No one's going to knife you or do a funny clicky dance in front of you.
Well,
they might, but it's just...
Well, actually, do you know what? I have a fond spot for the... how many generations ago would it have been? Just the previous generation, so 5 years ago, the C63 AMG in both saloon and estate form, because I remember that was... I liked it anyway, but that was the car that I had to drive when I was auditioning for Top Gear.
Was it?
Yeah, which I've never actually talked about. Yeah, had to drive it and about it, go around the Top Gear track and drift it and not crash and talk to the camera.
Did they provide it?
They did. I believe Mercedes UK provided 3 or 4 of them. And I also believe, Richard, that one of them might have got heavily damaged during the auditioning process. And I'm going to leave that there. I know, but I'm not saying a damn thing.
Go on, give us a clue.
No, I can't. I can't. You know. Listen, we know people.
I don't know.
You know the exec producer from Top Gear.
He's a very professional man, and he might not, he probably would tell me now.
He's massively professional, but I'm going to try and be.
This would have been when Chris Evans announced he was doing the show, and then put a shout out for auditionees. Was it that round of auditions?
Yes, it was when he said, "Yeah, I'm looking for presenters. You've got to send a video in, and it cannot be more than 30 seconds. If it's a second more than 30 seconds, I won't consider it." That's what he said.
Mm.
And I thought, well, I've got nothing to lose, and bollocks, I'll do it. So I think I've still got them on an old phone. I recorded about 10 versions.
Mm.
Sat in front of my little Enfield race car, and emailed it and got into the process. Got a call back, and ended up going for an audition, which got cancelled, and then it got reinstated. And I never ended up doing a chemistry. I was booked to do a chemistry test with Chris Evans after my first audition. And
For people who are not familiar with this term, used quite a lot in the television and film industry, it doesn't mean that you've got to go into a laboratory with some potassium permanganate or a magnesium ribbon and a Bunsen burner, do a few experiments. Well, although you could do that, I suppose. But yeah, a chemistry test, as in, you know, to see how well you get on with your on-screen potential co-stars.
Yeah.
So you were supposed to do one of those with Chris Evans, but you didn't.
No, it didn't end up happening. I did the audition with where I had to go around the Top Gear track in the AMG and talk to camera. Then I had to go into the studio and introduce fictitious items whilst walking around from place to place. That I felt the weight of that, because it was weird being in the Top Gear studio because I'd never been in it before.
You've
been in it hundreds of times. No, I've never been in it in my life. So I was in there and it was completely empty apart from a couple of camera people. And did that, met some of the rest of the crew, and then after the, no chemistry test with thingy, then I got, then nothing, Top Gear started, and then they wanted me to audition a second time to be the host of Extra Gear.
Oh, yes.
When Rory was doing the main show more of the time, and Extra Gear was kind of up for grabs.
Oh.
Yeah, it was weird. So I had to go back and do another audition, but this time it was with Chris Harris and Rory in the studio, and had to introduce an item and then have a chinwag with the two guys. I have to say, I was nervous as can be, so I really felt for people that have never done it before, never done any form of TV, but I absolutely soiled myself. Drove down in my Honda Insight. But yeah, ultimately... they decided to use somebody else, and then actually Extra Gear doesn't even exist anymore. So,
weren't you a guest on Extra Gear though at some point?
I was a guest, yes, I was a guest on Extra Gear. Yeah, I was. And what's weird is the producer of Top Gear, I remember when I got the call about auditioning, chemistry testing with Chris Evans, I was thinking, oh my gosh, that's going to be an absolute...
Oh, don't even have my own safety specs or a lab coat. What am I going to do?
I was really shatting myself. So I actually, and I think it was going to be an early start, like, I don't know, 7:45 down at the Top Gear test track. And I live, 150 miles away from the Top Gear test track. So I remember buying a can of a popular energy drink, which I don't normally do, and putting it in the fridge. Thought, I'll have that just before I go on set and I'll be tingling and jumping and gurning. And because it never came to fruition, I still have the can of Red Bull in the back of the fridge, and I wrote on it in permanent marker. I wrote on it in permanent marker, Top Gear audition energy drink, and I took a photo of it and I sent it to the producer and I said, one day I'm going to drink this because you're going to want me. Yeah. I might have been drunk when I sent that. I'll have to ask. I'll check my... sent items.
Who are you going to ask about being drunk?
Oh, no,
a can of Red Bull.
I'll just check the dates and see I might have had a little bit of quiet time with some Shiraz. I don't know.
So that's that audition process. Quite a few people went through that, didn't they? That we sort of people we know.
Yeah, I believe. I think so. Yeah, and it was. It was a very weird time, and I've never actually talked about it.
No.
Fundamentally because I failed. I think that's the main reason why I haven't talked about it.
Well, yeah, I'm going to say, look at it a slightly different way, that you dodged a bullet.
I feel I might have. Someone who lives with me and is very close to me said the same thing, and they actually, and I think their own words were, thank fuck that you didn't get the job. but, yeah.
Because
you live and learn. I have to say though, I was one day I'm going to try and get hold of some of the audition footage, because I'm actually quite pleased with how I drove. I was so busy trying to concentrate on the words, talking about the C63 and the Top Gear track, but I actually managed to get some half decent power slides out of that C63. So
did you?
Yeah. So one day I think I'm going to probably buy one of those, because I do like that era anyway. I think it's a cool car.
You can buy one, drive it home, and then sit in it and drink that can of Red Bull, and it's like, just close that chapter.
Yeah, maybe it's closure.
Safe in the knowledge that really no one came out of that series of Top Gear very well. And most people didn't come out of it with a job still on Top Gear. So, you know, it was definitely a sort of a teething troubles series, and then it sort of sorted itself out.
Bedded in. eventually.
Once they'd got rid of...
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I mean, as it was once described to me, there was a major problem with that series, and then thankfully he left. So I think, you know, you could have been caught in the fallout of that.
Yes.
And best not to be.
Excuse me. I think you're right. And that can, apparently, the can of energy drink that's still in my fridge, I'm pretty sure it'll probably sit there for several years and it'll taste exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. They have a half-life, those things, don't they?
Yeah. So I think I'll be just fine. And maybe that day when I do have that closure, you can come along.
Okay.
Would you like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I will. Now,
I'm trying to think of I have never questions now.
Yeah, I have never is quite good, isn't it? Because I started thinking this just purely on sort of makes of car, and I was suddenly like, I don't think I've ever owned a VW.
What are you, some sort of prick? Come on this show, you don't buy a BMW, you don't
right,
buy a VW,
well, you know,
but you've bought Rovers and you've bought...
Yeah, but you've never owned a Hispano Suiza, but I'm not going to make a big thing of it.
No, I haven't actually. It's amazing that, isn't it? But I have owned some pretty random cars.
Yeah. Have you ever owned a Skoda? Oh, wait, hang on. Well...
Oh, Richard... Richard.
No, I just think because I haven't.
No, although my mate Pete at university was the only guy in our shared house who had a motor that he brought to uni, and he had a Skoda Favorite.
Oh, really?
Do you remember the fact? Yeah, I haven't seen a Favorite for ages. And I was going through some old photographs during lockdown, I found the pictures of my uni life. And there's a picture of me. I one day said to him, let's jazz it up a bit, Pete. And he's like quite receptive. He went, yeah, yeah, okay. And it was sort of faded red. And I went to the, might have been a Halfords or a shop like that. And I got some like Shelby style racing stripe tape. And I gave it a pair of slightly off center racing stripes. And he really loved it. He probably sold the car with them on, or scrapped the car. I don't actually know what became of the car, but it was good. It was the only motor we had at uni.
Mm.
But yeah. Have I owned a Skoda?
Well, what about a Lada? Have you ever owned a Lada?
No, although I got very close. I think I've said this on a previous video or cast. After testing the Niva,
a
few years back on Fifth Gear, when you could still buy the brand new older style one. I very, very nearly ordered one. Very nearly ordered one. My wife thinks they're ace. She really likes them. The ultimate deal breaker was it was going to be our family car and you can only buy them in left-hand drive. And I got so close to making it happen that I actually nearly bought a donor right-hand drive one from the 80s or the early 90s that was rusty but complete, and then costing up the price of actually right-hand drive converting a brand new car using old right-hand drive bits.
Bloody
and then I just
hell.
Then I punched myself in the balls and said, what are you thinking? What are you? Stop it. And I didn't, and that was that. But I do regret not ordering one. They were like £9,500 including VAT. And I went through the options list, and it was a sensationally Soviet options list. I loved it. It was just brilliant.
Well, one of the options was just hope.
Yeah. It was like...
No, it's not available.
Snowplow, like a massive snowplow, not just a small, subtle one, like a huge one. And there was a rifle case which fitted...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but of course, it was AK-47.
Of course.
And it fitted behind...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Was it on the rear, like there was a rear bulkhead kind of area? I'm trying to remember. It was brilliant. And I was going to order all of it because each one of them was about 80 euros. I was like, bollocks, I'll have a snowplow for 80 euros. It's a factory fit.
Because of the massive snowfall that you get where you live.
Oh, yeah, we get in excess of 2 inches every other year.
Now, I've alluded a couple of times on the podcast recently to the fact I'm just putting the finishing touches, in inverted commas, to a second volume of my Boring Car Trivia book. And one of the things that I got down a bit of a rabbit hole was I suddenly became inexplicably determined to find Britain's last new car that you could buy that still had a starting handle. And I'm pretty sure, as a result of my investigations, that the answer is Lada Niva.
What? Like, yeah, because, I mean, what, the Niva came out in 79?
Yeah, and it still had, and if you look, I mean, on UK cars, it tends to be the hole through the bumper that then corresponds to the hole in the front panel.
That's right.
It tends to be obscured by the number plate, but it's there. Yeah, and it's my belief, having looked into this a bit too much, that they only deleted the option to start it with a starting handle when the Niva got multi-point fuel injection in the mid-90s.
Mid-90s, yeah. Yeah.
So if you'd have bought one of those recent left-hand drive ones, that wouldn't have had been able to be hand-cranked into life. But
factory-fit LPG, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was on the options list.
Oh.
And again, it cost about £18 extra to have it LPG'd.
I'll tell you another, sorry, it just reminded me of another good Lada fact I only found out quite recently when I was working on this book, is that theft was rife from cars as they were shipped from the Toliati, isn't it? Toliati? Sounds wrong now I'm saying it. Anyway, the Lada factory in Russia, the Vaz factory, call it what you will. And they used to have to put desirable items such as the optional radio and wheel trims and other bits and pieces that people might want to filch for their own Ladas. They had to put them in the boot and then seal the boot with a little lead strap.
What?
Yeah, to stop, you know, because if there was a train
wheel
load of
trims,
cars, well, yeah, wheel trim or anything that could be taken off that was.
I suppose Soviet era, you know.
Yeah, like this is full Soviet era. This is the '70s, but then they introduced halogen headlights on some Vaz/Ladas, and of course, if there's a train load of ones with halogen lights in a shunting yard somewhere in the distant part of Russia, well, those halogen bulbs are like, you know, hot property.
30 quid.
So they had to start sealing the headlights with little tamper strips to try and dissuade people from stealing halogen bulbs out of the headlights. Yeah.
They should have just been knocked down kits that we assemble in Dover.
Well, they did used to do a lot of work. The other story I heard, which I haven't put in my book, but it's quite a good one.
You've heard a lot of stories, Rich.
Yeah, I know. God, I just, that's why I don't go to...
You should write a book.
Well, that's a good idea. What can I call it? The apparently the UK importer, because they used to come into, was it Bridlington or somewhere, up in on the sort of Yorkshire coast. They used to bring them in there, and there was a centre. They would sort of half rebuild them to try and make them better made and also fit. Do you remember a lot of Ladas in the 80s used to have like side stripes and generic wheel trims in body color and stuff, and it was
awful
things.
Sunroofs.
Awful sunroofs, very curved corners, aftermarket. Well, those ones that tilted, but the slide wasn't a slide, you could take the whole thing out.
You just take it out and throw it in a nearby bin.
Yeah, well, it always felt like you could drop it and break it. And that was all the UK importer trying to, you know, create a model range out of nothing. So it's like, oh, this is the GLX. And it's like, they're all the same when they come off the ship. You just have to gussy them up to different degrees in Bridlington. But one of the things they used to, apparently, they would know if the factory in Russia had refurbished the panel presses because they'd suddenly get a batch of cars in and the doors would fit much better.
Really?
Well, because they were making so many that the presses would wear out quite quickly.
Yeah, of course.
And
of
all
course.
The panels would go a bit frilly. Well, you know, they just go a bit inexact.
Yeah.
And then they would have the dies refurbed or new dies put in the presses, and suddenly you'd get much crisper door pressings, and then the doors would actually fit properly.
I would,
but they would
so
never bother to tell anyone.
I would much rather have an 80s Skoda than an 80s Lada.
Yeah, have you ever driven one?
Yes.
They're horrid, aren't they? They're really
horrible.
And
I couldn't go near an FSO.
No, God.
I just couldn't. Although, I'd draw the line at that.
You've uncorked a torrent of shite, because this is another... In fact, I won't even spoil it, but I've got some good FSO facts in my next book as well, if you're into that sort of thing.
I'm going to buy your next book.
Well, you can have
decided.
It for free.
All right, I won't buy it.
But, yeah, do you know, the other weekend when we were at Goodwood and someone was showing us pictures of a Lada they'd bought, and it was sort of, I was looking at it going, oh, that's quite cool. And then I suddenly remembered as I was walking away that they're absolutely disgusting to drive. They're just not amusing or pleasant at all. There's no delight to them whatsoever.
They are the sort of car which you just instantly put a drivetrain transplant in.
Yeah. Yeah. Fiat Twin Cam's a good one, isn't it, apparently?
Totally. Totally.
Anyway, where were we? So I Have Never. No, I thought the I Have Never, you could go on because there's all this sort of you could do. But actually, it's also, I started thinking about things like I have never, like, dropped a tool into the engine bay of a car and it's never come out again. And actually, I have done that, so I'd have to stand up and drink. I think everyone's done that, though, haven't they?
Yeah, I've done that.
It was wondering where it's gone.
Especially with an under tray, it's a world of pain.
Yeah.
If you don't take all the under trays off. We need a selection of suction and capture tools, which I've been accruing over the years.
I think I saw them at a drum and bass night in Birmingham in about 98. Suction and capture.
Yeah, they were massive. Yeah,
they were really good.
Yeah, Stretch and Vern. Good mates with Stretch and Vern. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, listen, guys.
Yes, guys.
Since you were in a bit of a reflective mood about your Top Gear audition, which, I'll be honest, I'd completely forgotten that you'd auditioned for Top Gear.
Thank you.
But it was interesting to hear.
I have, you know, I actually got quite close to being a presenter on Top Gear.
No, I know you did, because our mutual friend, who is the producer of that show, did tell me that, you know, he'd got you on his shortlist and that he really liked you. So,
oh, he's a nice... I have no idea how short his list was, but I'm just going to imagine it was exceptionally short, just a bolster.
It was just your name and then a question mark underneath.
And then a shopping list which said milk, bread, noodles, potatoes.
Hire Johnny Smith, question mark. I don't know what's worse to hear, that you got quite close or that you didn't get quite close. I don't know which one I'd want to know.
I don't
either
know.
Way,
I've grown stronger since, and I just put it down to the tapestry of life,
the rich,
lovely,
creamy
tapestry of life,
yogurt.
I just enjoyed being part of it. It was interesting. Friends, you know.
Like I
contacts.
Said, I think you dodged a bullet. I really do. Yeah. I think you're better off away from what turned out to be a little bit of a car accident of a series for various reasons. Because it could have had a negative effect on your career going forward.
Going forward, also known as in the future. Yes.
Yeah. It's funny how... there is actually an easy and existing way of saying going forward that people seem to have forgotten. Anyway, what I was going to say is, since you're sort of in a slightly nostalgic mood talking about auditioning for Top Gear, I have opened up my little document of notes that I just keep in my phone of things that either we should talk about or things that you mentioned that I always think, I'm going to write that down and I'm going to ask Johnny about it next time we're recording, rather than... Because you do sometimes just casually refer to stories, which I think you think you've already told me, and you haven't.
Oh,
now, there are two on this list that are, I think, particularly unedifying from the sounds of them. And
right.
I'm going to invite you to share just one of them. I think both might be too much for one show. So you can choose from, and I'll just read them out as I've noted them down, all right? Now, one of these you've mentioned on Twitter, so some people might be eagerly awaiting it. The other one, I don't believe you have, and it sounds even more repellent. They are written down as Johnny's Motorway Services Glory Hole Story and and Spoon Out Poo. So which one would you go for? Do you want to tell us about...
I am absolutely certain I've told you both of these stories.
I think I'd remember them if you had. It feels like... Well, unless so, I've blotted them out. I might have blotted them out.
Right, let's go with the first one. Keel Services. So in the... It would have been about 1999, my first job, journalism job, on a Volkswagen magazine. I remember I was coming back from a shoot really late, and I think it was in further up than Manchester. Anyway, I was coming down the M6, got to Keel Services, and I really desperately needed the toilet. And I had camera equipment in the car because I'd been taking photos of a feature car, because I used to take pictures and write. And I was a bit paranoid about the car getting broken into, but there was a bit too much gear to take into the toilet. So I thought, I'm going to just do a super fast run in, have a waz, run out. Mm. Don't need a poo, so it's cool. got out the car. Car was a Mark II Golf Driver. I remember that was our sort of pull car. And ran into the gents' toilet. And this was about, let's say this was about 10 o'clock at night, nine at night. Mm. Ran into the gents' toilet. And if you know at motorway services, there's a lot of urinals normally. Mm. And as usual, there was a lot of urinals. But they were all full, as in there was somebody stood at each one. It was particularly busy, which I thought that's a bit strange, but I was busting. So I just ran into the nearest cubicle, shut the door, and had one of those never-ending wheeze that just won't stop. Because I've been holding off for so long.
Yeah. Never-ending urine. La, 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 la. Yeah.
So as I was, as I was doing that and just... the euphoria was kicking in.
Mm.
I noticed in the wall of the partition of the cubicle, there was a hole in it, but it had been stuffed with, I don't know, toilet roll.
Mm.
Didn't think anything of it because I was enjoying the euphoria. Just thought, I don't know, general. But, and there might have been some things drawn or written all over the walls. Usual story. And but as I was midway, I remember the toilet paper disappeared, and suddenly an empty toilet roll came through.
Right.
A cardboard empty toilet roll. And it was there, and I was just...
Do you know what? If we were one of those true crime podcasts right now, we'd stop. There'd be some sort of lilting, slightly tense music.
And so I'm still...
With a clock ticking, and then
we imagine
come,
that, I mean, we let's just say this is like a one-minute week, and that's a long wee, right? I mean, I have done a couple of one-minuters in my time, but, you know, there's... So all this happens inside of a minute. I ignore it, because I've got better things to do. Then the toilet roll disappears. Then a finger comes through and wiggles. And I just thought, this is just weird. I don't care. My wee's nearly over. And then before I can finish my wee, unfortunately, the finger is replaced by something else. And that's it. I cannot finish this wee quickly enough. I've got to wrap this up quickly, swiftly, without trying to get too much kind of like, you know, splashback. when you're on boost and you can't seem to come off boost very quickly, and you really need to. That's I was in an urgent situation where that was required.
How close, like where
to me,
on the partition was the hole relative to sort of where you're standing and the loo? Like, was it by you rather than
it was
sort of
closer
by the
to
system?
Me that yes, yeah, so it's really quite close to me,
right?
And I was pretty shocked. Obviously, I wasn't expecting to see a winkle coming through the partition, and I wrapped this up quickly. How old? I mean, I was only young as well. I was 20 years old, and in horror, I just ran so fast out of the. The toilets, didn't wash my hands, I'm afraid. Sorry, I was a mucky pup. But, you know, there was another freaky part to this. is I remember running out of the cubicle and looking back.
Just to be clear, you didn't say anything, e.g.
I said nothing, and my brother, being my brother, when I told him the story, he just casually went, "You should have just taken your shoe off and battered it." And I went, "Well..." and my brother, me and my brother would have just done that, and I'm like, "But I just didn't even think to do that, mate. I was tired. I'd been driving, and you know, I ran out.
Point. It's a very high risk strategy poking your chap through the into
massively.
An unseen hole,
because
someone
completely.
Could whack it with a shoe. They could spray it with some deep heat. They could do all sorts to it.
You could flail it with a sharp watch strap. You could do many things. Could happen to it. A belt.
Well,
you could take your belt off and give it a good hiding.
Bloody hell.
Well, that's why you shouldn't stick your ding-a-ling through mysterious holes.
Have you got many more twee euphemisms for knob?
Yes, I've got a whole book in my downstairs toilet that I got given for Christmas about 20 years ago, and it's still good to this
anyway,
day.
Anyway, so you're running away from an
I'm running away and I look,
bell end.
Yeah, I look back, and the mysterious part of this, apart from the trauma, is that all of the people that were in there taking up the urinals had all gone. There was nobody else in
what?
There. And in the 1 minute that I was in there, I never heard anybody leave. Didn't hear any... It was just... And that's the bit that's since I go back and retread by my steps in my mind, that's the bit that freaks me out more than seeing the winkle through the door.
Really strange.
Yeah.
Maybe there were ghosts. Maybe everything was a ghost.
Maybe it was all a ghost.
You got approached by a ghost cock.
My take home from that situation, and this is why I tell my wife, this is why to this day I still do it, is if I just need a wee and I'm solo in the car,
yeah,
I don't stop at motorway services. I do the hazard warning lights, side of the road, right in nice and tight, both doors open.
On the hard shoulder?
Yep. I always do it. So if anyone can vouch for that, if they ever see me on the hard shoulder looking like I'm weeing, I'm definitely weeing on the hard shoulder.
Isn't that illegal?
I don't know. And do you know what? If it is, I'll just say, listen, mate, I've been glory holed and I really didn't want to be. And so I'm willing to take a telling off, an official warning, on the basis of that I just don't want to see another dick through a badly drilled hole in a wall, if that's all right. And anyway...
Drilled? I wonder how it was drilled in the first place. I mean, you think the noise would alert people to something going on, but...
Or it was chiselled over time.
Maybe. Scratched
with a,
out.
With a very blunt knife stolen from KFC or something. I don't know. Don't know if you get
I'd love it if
KFC.
You were having a wee on the verge by a motorway and you looked around at what you thought was a knot hole in a tree and then a squirrel just poked its dick through it.
Oh, Rich.
Sorry.
So that's why, and for years I never went to Kiel services, and I don't want to put anyone off Kiel services because I think it's really up to its game lately.
I'll be honest, it's a shit services, isn't it?
Is
I haven't
it?
Been for a while. Yeah, it's a bit shitty, and it's been rather dwarfed by some of the other ones, Stafford, for example. I'll tell you what, my top tip for having a waz on the motorway is fully legal, but rather than going to the main services, just loop round and go to the petrol station. There's always a loo in there and it's usually quite quiet.
But the problem with that is it's often used by people that simply don't watch where they're pointing their urine.
I would say that would extend to all services.
Yeah,
there,
but you know, it's
something
just,
about travel on arterial just, roads that causes people to get really, really quite scattergun with the
it's hips. Horrific. It's horrific.
Well, we have ended up on an absolutely delightful topic.
I'm not telling you the other story. The other story is for another day, I feel.
We'll keep it because it could be too much. But we should probably wrap this one up.
Should we? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I was just coming on cam.
But I did want to say that we've had lots of nice emails and things from people, so I'm sort of a mind to give out the email address again. I know I didn't last week, but screw it. So it's smithandsniff, all in words, @gmail.com. Do get in touch, or also you can leave remarks on the comments under the YouTube versions of this podcast, which is just audio. There's nothing else, but people seem to still listen on YouTube. And there's a comment section there, or you can get in touch with us on Twitter. Johnny is at CarPervert. I'm at SniffPetrol on Twitter. Because I was going to say, if you've got a car, I have nevers.
Oh yeah, that would be good actually.
That might be quite interesting / amusing. Also, if you've got any stories about encounters that you'd rather not have had at Keel Services, I mean, it's all grist to the mill. Maybe you could form a support group.
I remember having a really, really dangerous poo once on a very remote motorway services in Germany. And I was in a Rolls-Royce, brand new Rolls-Royce Phantom at the time, and I remember going in it, and the cubicle looked like it, like the one from Trainspotting, but with loads of swastikas and,
oh my God,
and genitals drawn on the wall in quite a lot of detail. And it was one of those ones where I was desperate to go, and it was a number two, and it was like I just didn't want to do this. But I also felt like someone was going to come in and attack me because they knew I had a Rolls Phantom. This is all a very stressful situation, and not one I want to repeat.
No.
Yeah.
But no unsolicited peni.
Didn't see anyone else's phallus, which is great. And there was some toilet roll, which was also great.
Yeah, that's always a plus.
And the Phantom hadn't had anything drawn on it, or we hadn't had the wheel stolen or anything like that. So, yeah, all in all, not as bad as it could have been.
Hey, well, again, I mean, do feel free. Actually, don't email in if you've got stories of stressful road defecation. That's probably not something we're going to read out. I mean, we were happy when we just had the whimsical tales.
I think we might tumble down the charts if we stoop too low.
I do, yeah. We already got... I felt like there was a slight sort of flagging within certainly the YouTube version of this, because idiotically I put the word nipple in the title a few weeks ago when we're talking about Plato's peephole shirt. they don't like slightly saucy
words. Did they say please don't do that again? You get a bit of a warning.
It said that you because we started putting ads on the front of the back of the thing, and it said your ads have been restricted because some content may not be suitable for all advertisers. And I was thinking, gosh, what would that be? Because we swear every week. Shit, balls, fuck, wank, etc.
I think you might have explained why, unfortunately, we don't make any money from this podcast.
Because one of our shows was called Jason Plato's Nipple T-shirt. Visible Nipple, that's it. Yeah, can't remember the name of it.
Completely.
We'll get the hang of this one day. Oh, that's the other thing I was going to say. Actually, usually at this point I go, oh, please like and subscribe, and obviously those two things are still valid requests. But also, we always forget to say, if you're interested in sponsoring this show and you don't mind swearing and stories about Johnny seeing a stranger's gel in Keel Services, you know, if you feel that's on brand for your product, and I'm sure it probably is for some. Or indeed, if you are Keel Services and you want to get more visibility.
I'd love to get sponsored by a services. That would be brilliant. Amazing.
No, but that really nice one in Cumbria. That would be my benchmark.
Yeah, that'd be excellent.
I can't
remember
the name of it, but the really, really nice one.
We could get sponsored by some driving-related food.
Road food. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say something there, but I was going to actually betray a confidence. I was going to say, I was asked if I would write some stuff for a pitch for a product. No, nothing to do with this show, just, you know, it's just some copy.
Did you forget that we're actually recording a podcast?
I did, yeah. I was just going to tell you something from real life that I can't say in public because but it was for a product that is for me used to be classic car food.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I hope you told them that.
Well, I went, oh, I like that. And I think they're a bit surprised. I went, well, I used to eat a lot of it. Then I realised it's quite bad for you. Anyway.
And that's why you look like Jimmy White, the former snooker player.
He's my spirit animal.
Jimmy White's my spirit animal. That's totally a bumper sticker.
Well, one for the mythical merch collection. All right. Well, anyway, thank you very much for listening. We hope that you've made it this far. Sorry about all the slightly off-putting stories. We'll try not to do them again next week, where we will see you same time, same place. Until then, thanks very much. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
Unsolicited Bella.
Normally, Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.